As we have said, verse 12 is the little text that I would like to leave with you tonight. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It has been often said that every cloud has a silver lining. Every cloud has a silver lining. And I believe that for the child of God, that statement is very, very true and also very encouraging. The hymn writer said, "Days of darkness still come o'er me." We often walk in the Christian life through thick clouds and darkness, but every cloud is a silver lining. The Bible speaks about receiving treasures in darkness and hidden riches in secret places. The gold miner will go down into the very heart of the earth, down into the darkness to extract that precious metal. And so it is with the Christian in days of darkness. Whenever dark clouds are over us, it's there as we seek the Lord and as we search the Scriptures that we can find great blessings. Every cloud has a silver lining. That is true as well of the COVID-19 crisis. None of us, I'm sure, have desired this. Most of us have not expected it. We haven't gone looking for it. It presents many, many challenges and also brings to us many concerns and uncertainties. Days are uncertain. The future is unclear, and we do not know how long this crisis will last. It seems that all sorts of rumors are circulating that we might be able to fellowship together again within a month, or maybe 3 months, perhaps 6 months. Some are even forecasting 9 months. We do not know. All we know is that the Lord holds the future in His hand. We do not know how long this will last, but it is important that during the time of this crisis that we do not wish our lives away. Very easy just to say, well, I can't wait until all of this is over, and there's nothing profitable that I can do until we are allowed to get back to a realm of normality. It's important not to wish our lives away. And it's important as well at times like this not just to be idle and to fritter our time away and to do nothing until it comes to pass. The psalmist said here in his prayer, "Lord, teach us to number our days." That means help us, O God, to count every day as being of worth and of value. Help us to view each day as being precious. Lord, let us never think that we have untold days to live on this earth. Help us to realize, O God, that our days are limited and opportunity is a small window. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This is a very relevant verse for such a time as this. Each and every day that we are living during this crisis, I believe that we can make the most of it, and God is giving us perhaps opportunity to get to know Him better and to spend our time wisely. We can use this crisis to prosper spiritually, to grow in grace, and to get to know our God better. It could be God's means of reviving us personally, so that in the will of the Lord, whenever we come back together in our church here locally, or in our churches across the province, that God's blessing will flow through us as God has touched our hearts and lives in the intervening period. Maybe it's a time to enjoy God's grace in our families and to spend time around the Word of God even there. I just want to give you tonight 10, don't panic with that, I'll keep them very brief, 10 simple reasons why we should view this crisis as an opportunity. Our title for this message tonight is Making the Most of the COVID-19 Crisis. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we need to count our blessings. Count our blessings. In Psalm 103 and verse number 2, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." It is so easy for us to focus on the negatives. And yes, there are many negatives, many things that we could focus on and many things that can discourage us in these days, many things that might get us down. But I believe the positives far outweigh the negatives. Think of how God has blessed us as his people. He's saved us. He's kept us. He promises to be with us. He promises to answer prayer. He promises to provide for all of our needs. He promises to lift every burden. He promises to give grace for every trial. God has blessed us in wonderful ways, and he has given us a wonderful assurance of heaven and home as well. And he has blessed us in basket and store already. David said, I have been young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Count your blessings. Be thankful for the things that God has done for us. How often we are guilty, how often this heart of mine is guilty of taking the blessings of God for granted. David recognizes it's possible that if I do not praise the Lord and bless the Lord and thank the Lord, it would be very easy for me to forget all of his benefits and to focus on the negatives, to look at the things that I haven't prayed for, the things that I didn't want, the things that I didn't desire, and wonder, where is God in all of this? And sometimes you can put our circumstances between us and God instead of putting our Lord between us and our circumstances and realizing that God has blessed us infinitely more than we could ever deserve. By virtue of our sin, we deserve to be cut off, but God has blessed us. Somebody once said we should spend more time thanking God for things than we do asking him for things. We should spend more time thanking God for things than we do asking God for things. The old hymn writer Johnson Oatman wrote many wonderful, wonderful hymns, and one of the most well-known is Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. You know the words well, some of you. Let me just read a few of those verses to you. When upon life's billows you're tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. W.P. Nicholson used to say in his campaigns, count your many blessings. Name them by the ton, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Making the most of the COVID-19 crisis. First step, count your blessings. Second step, praise his name. Whatever happens, God is always worthy. We ought never to forget that. Whatever happens, good or ill, our God is always supremely worthy. Not to give too much away, but we don't want to keep it a secret either, but the book of Habakkuk closes with praise. It starts with problems, it closes with praise. It begins with worry, it ends with worship. It begins with tribulation, it ends with triumph. It begins with a man with questions in his heart, asking why. And then it ends with a man who maybe still doesn't know the reason why, but has really learned to worship and to praise God's name. Let me read the last verses of that little prophecy. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Many would look on and say, not much reason to rejoice there, not much to be thankful for there, not much to praise the Lord for in that. But Habakkuk has learned, he says in verse 18, yet, in spite of all of that, all of those temporal, external, physical things, I'm going to rejoice in something much greater. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk has learned not to take his joy and his comfort from temporal things that come and go, But Habakkuk has learned to rejoice and take his joy from God, who is eternal and unchanging. I think maybe I need to learn that lesson as well. Just because we do not get what we want, when we want it, does not mean that God is not worthy. He is always and ever worthy. David sang in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. David had enemies compassed all around him. He didn't cry and lament and say, Lord, why have you allowed this to happen? Why am I hemmed in here? But rather David says, I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord, even while there are enemies without, and even while there are fears within, God is still worthy of all of my praise and worship. We think of the praise of heaven, and a foretaste of that is seen in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 5 and verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Thomas Watson was an old Puritan, and he made this statement, in prayer we act like men, but in praise we act like angels. In prayer we act like men, but in praise we act like angels. Our homes can become sanctuaries of worship, sanctuaries of praise. We used to sing in old choruses as young people whenever I was growing up, worthy, O worthy are you, Lord. Worthy to be thanked and praised and worshipped and adored. And God is worthy. Worthy to be thanked. Worthy to be praised. Worthy to be worshipped. Another pointer for making the most of the COVID-19 crisis, assess your priorities. The maxim for Christian living is laid out very clearly by our blessed Redeemer on the Sermon on the Mount. It's a motto text for every Christian. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't it very easy? I speak from experience. Isn't it so easy for us to get our priorities wrong? But now God is giving us time to assess our priorities. What have we been putting first in our lives? Where is God on the pecking order of our day and of our affections and our time and our talents? Maybe for years we have been getting our priorities wrong and God has put the brakes on everything. We can't socialize. Many of us can't go to our places of employment. We can't go to our places even of worship. Many civic events in our society have been stopped. Sporting events have been cancelled. And maybe God is stopping us here and saying, what are your priorities? What are the things that are of most value and importance to you? St. Mark's account of the parable of the sower makes mention of the seed that fell among thorns. The seed represents the word of God. The ground represents the heart of the hearer. And the seed that fell among thorns, the Savior says, are such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, the parable of the sower is very often applied to the unconverted, and certainly there's that very real application, and rightly so. But it also has reference to the Christian. The Lord wants us to bring forth fruit. And sometimes we read the word of God in our quiet times. We hear the word of God in our churches. But there are other things in our lives that take priority, the cares of this world. That just means the burdens of life, the deceitfulness of riches. Riches can be deceitful. We have this idea that they will satisfy us and make us happy, and that that's the most important thing in life, and that's what really counts, and also the lusts of other things. entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Has this happened in our lives? Has the word of God been sown week after week, month after month perhaps? But there's been no real fruit unto God for it. I think I'm guilty of that myself, and it's happened in this life of mine, and we've become perhaps unfruitful, making no real response to the word because we've got our priorities wrong. The lust of other things have entered in, and we've become unfruitful. Then another step for making the most of this crisis is consider your ways. Count your blessings, praise his name, assess your priorities, consider your ways. The little prophecy of Haggai, this is really a key theme in that little prophecy there in the Old Testament, twice in the first chapter. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. That word consider, it means to weigh up in the balances. And having done so, to come to a crossroads and then to make a decision. And the Lord's asking us to look at our lives, to search our hearts. And having assessed our priorities, then consider our ways. How are we really living in this world? Are we walking in the way that the Lord would have us to go? The theme of the book of Haggai is, by and large, a rebuke to God's people, especially in the first chapter, regarding their neglect for the house of God. Now, we are all built up as Christians as part of a spiritual house. And we are called to tend to those spiritual things and to build upon that foundation that has been laid in the gospel in Jesus Christ, and to build upon that gold, silver, and precious stones. But so often we build perhaps wood, hay, and stubble. And if we assess our priorities and we consider our ways, maybe we have to conclude, as the prophet Haggai did, that the blessing of the Lord has been withheld because we have allowed things to enter in and to rob us of really walking with God. I wonder if we took a few moments even now just to consider for a moment or two how we have been living and how we've been treating the Word of God and things like that, maybe in our homes or our relationships with our siblings, our spouses, our parents, our children. Are they what they ought to be? What about our workplaces? What about church life? These things can all come in even before God. What about social media? How much time do we spend on social media compared to how much time we spend with the Lord? I think it would alarm us if we really took time just to consider our ways. And if we ask God to show us how he views us, maybe it would make a big difference. Step number five, search the Scriptures. One thing that many of us now have that we didn't have before is a lot of time on our hands. Weeknight meetings have been cancelled. We're sitting in our homes 5, 6, maybe 7 nights a week. And other commitments have been cancelled as well. And God has given us, most of us, a lot of us, I know that some that are involved in the care profession, it's different for you, but for those of us who are not able to do the work that we once did or enjoy the hobbies that we once enjoyed, God has given us a lot of time. Now, what are we going to do with that time? The psalm says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, Lord, help me to use my time wisely. And what better way to use your time during this crisis than to search the Scriptures? Paul said to Timothy, study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The Lord Jesus Christ said, search the Scriptures. The psalmist prayed, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And as long as we search the Scriptures and feed our soul with the Word of God, we will build ourselves up in our most holy faith. God's Word is often very much neglected. Some of the best sellers in Bible bookstores are little books like 1-minute devotions. But now we've got more time than ever to really search the Scriptures, to read it prayerfully and carefully, to pray and say, Lord, help me to hear your voice. Help me to think about what I'm reading. Help me to apply it, O God, to my life. I heard about a Christian down the country, and he is out of work now because of this crisis, and he has said that he's setting himself a challenge, that he's going to try to read as much as or all of the Bible before this crisis is over. We mightn't be able to set the bar so high, but maybe we could look at a book in the Bible, maybe some of the Psalms, maybe the book of Colossians, or some of Peter's epistles, or John's epistles, or some of the Gospels, or the book of Proverbs, and say, right, well, I'm going to set time aside, and I'm going to study this book. I'm going to find out what the key themes are, and the key subjects are, and I'm going to get a real understanding, even of one book in the Bible. Pick something simple, and pick something easier, maybe a portion of Scripture that you've never really studied before. If you're a little bit more advanced, maybe some of the prophets in the Old Testament or the book of Revelation. But let's spend the time wisely and let's search the Scriptures and let's study the book. And then along with that, point number six, how to profit from the COVID crisis, seek God's face. Met a guy just the other day. I was out walking. You're allowed out once a day for a walk. I was out walking. There's a fellow out. He was power hosing his driveway. And we got talking, and we could have stood and talked all day. And he was telling me, he says, I'm absolutely bored out of my tree. And he says, I've plenty of time now to talk. And many of us do. Social media now is very, very busy. Facebook and WhatsApp and text messages and emails and different things, and people are on the phone all the time now talking to loved ones, and that's all wonderful, and we don't despise that at all. But do we take the same time to talk to the Lord systematically, consistently? Maybe this is an opportunity to build a family altar in your home. Maybe that's slipped by the wayside. No longer is there prayer with your family. God's giving us an opportunity to resurrect family altars and to get through to God in prayer and to spend time with Him. Maybe more than ever, we have time to really pray. And the more time we spend in His presence, the more like Him we become. And if we had, say, 2 more months, just a ballpark figure, or 3 more months, just in this lockdown, and we were able to spend quality time with God every single day for the next 90 days in His Word, and then seeking His face, praying for our loved ones, praying for our land and praying for our nation, worshiping God in prayer and seeking His face, how that would change and revolutionize our lives, our homes, and our churches. Stepping stone number 7, very practical one again, love your family. Love your family. You know, news headlines are carrying reports of domestic violence on the rise because people are shut in now together. That's the society now that we live in, that man and wife and parents and children, brothers and sisters, have forgotten how to live together in harmony. I know that we can get in each other's hair. I know that we need our own space at times. But isn't it sad that whenever we're given time to spend together as family, we can hardly stick it at all in our society? But the Christian home should be quite different. For a long time, perhaps, our homes have been like drop-in centers. We're like ships oftentimes passing in the night. And we don't spend quality time together. But now, maybe God is saying, listen, you need to set your houses in order. And husbands, you need to learn to love your wives again. And vice versa. And parents, you need to learn how to love and instruct and nourish your children again. And brothers and sisters and children, you need to learn to respect your parents again and enjoy each other's company. Eat your meals together. Thank God for the food that's on your table. Talk together. Listen together. Play a board game together. Go out for a walk together. Listen to each other. Talk to each other. Embrace one another. and learn to love our families again. If you're in the habit of reading the Bible, as I hope you are, I encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. Begin Ephesians 5 at verse 18 and read through to chapter 6 about verse 4 there, and it'll give you a lot of meat, real solid meat, as to how to have a happy home. Then there's another stepping stone as to how to make the most of the COVID-19 crisis, witness to the lost. Often our witnessing is done and our sharing is done and our inviting is done to other Christians, and that's important as well. We need to encourage one another in the Lord and bear one another's burdens. But maybe for years, if there's a gospel mission on in the locality, we invite all of our Christian friends. Or if we read something from the Word of God that's a challenge to us, we share it with all of our Christian friends. And sometimes, as Christian people, we can become very, very insular. But let's not forget that there's a world outside of our homes that needs the Lord. And there's a world outside of the community of Christ and of God's people that needs the Savior. There are still means of fulfilling the Great Commission in the midst of all of this. Some of you are on Facebook, social media, Twitter, and different things. You can use that to spread the gospel. Or lift the phone and show Christian love to your family, your loved ones, your neighbor. Put a text of scripture up in your window of your front door. And a lot of people are putting up little signs with a rainbow and the word hope. And that's good. But put a Bible verse on it and let people see what you stand for and what you believe. God can use you at a time like this to be a witness for Him. Point number 9, prove His grace. God may not immediately answer our prayers and put an end to this virus. We think of the Apostle Paul over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he talked about this thorn in his flesh and how much discomfort and pain it caused him. He prayed 3 times that God would take it away. And the Lord said to him in verse number 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God says, Paul, my grace is sufficient. You're facing infirmity, difficulty, pain, suffering, uncertainty, hardship. You've prayed and there seems to have been no answer. But Paul, this is the answer to your prayer. My grace is sufficient for thee. It is said that that was Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, C.H. Spurgeon, that was his text. Recognizing his weakness, walking up to the pulpit to preach the word of God, he prayed that over and over and over again. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Lord, your grace is sufficient. The grace of God is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Paul said also in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, in all things might abound unto every good work." I'm sure we have all met people in our lives who in the midst of great trial, maybe bereavement or very serious illness, have shown a glow about them and their countenance and their demeanor and their testimony and even the tone in their voice indicates that they have been given great grace. That grace is available for all who will receive it freely. The hymn writer said, "If all were easy, if all were bright, where would the cross be? Where would the fight? But in the hardness, God gives to you chances of proving that He is true." How to make the most of this crisis? Count your blessings, praise His name, assess your priorities, consider your ways, search the Scriptures, seek His face, love your family, witness to the lost, prove His grace, and then prepare for eternity. Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I think this crisis has shown us that very principle in a vivid way. We had all plans, some of us maybe at Easter time, to take time off work and go on holidays. Maybe plans for the summer. Plans to go to certain events in our locality, maybe meetings planned in our churches. We had all things planned, and all of a sudden they've all changed. And it's all outside of our control. Does it not remind us that time is not our own? Does it not remind us, as we search the Scriptures, that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh? Does it not show us the frailty of life, that we are all very, very small and very, very fragile, and things can change so quickly? We live as if there's no eternity. We live as if we're going to be here forever. We live as if there's nothing more to our lives and our existence than life here on earth. But the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And friends, I know that my sins are under the blood. Praise his name for that. I know that my sins were nailed to his cross. I know that his blood has redeemed me and cleansed me. But nevertheless, I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And that's a very solemn thing. Many, many Christians never think about it at all. We're so taken up with absent from the body, present with the Lord, and so taken up with thoughts of heaven. And we need to be taken up with those thoughts. But let's remember that we're going to give an account. And we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If you had been called to do that 2 or 3 weeks ago, would you have been confident that you had a good testimony, a good witness, and you'd labored for treasures of worth? Has God given us, again, a window of opportunity to prepare for that great judgment day? That from henceforth we might say, Lord, I don't want to live with regrets. I don't want to look back on the COVID-19 crisis and say, I didn't learn anything. I didn't discover God in a deeper way. I didn't grow in grace. I wasted the crisis. I went back to living the way that I'd been living before and getting into heaven by the skin of my teeth. Or are we going to say, Lord, what are you teaching me here? How can I make the most of this? How can I profit from this? How can I be victorious in this? How can I know you deeper and better in this? In the will of the Lord, if the Lord allows, let's come back to our places of fellowship with a closer walk with God than we had since last we met together. Don't waste this opportunity, but rather count your blessings. Praise his name. Assess your priorities. Consider your ways. Search the Scriptures. Seek his face. Love your family. Witness to the lost, prove his grace, prepare for eternity. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.